It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening. I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a Los Angeles-based law firm. I'm a Los Angeles-based radio host, and this show goes all over the world, but we are Los Angeles-based. And I say that for a reason today, because human values cross nation borders. Accomplishments cross nation borders. Legends are the same wherever they are. And today, I am not the legend. And by the way, I'm working solo. Don't have a guest co-host. I did have a guest co-host lined up, one of our well-known local LA co-hosts. But, you know, because we have a guest who is not from the United States, is not from Los Angeles, I thought I'd give her a day off. Maybe I should have had Jillian Barbary co-host with me because she did co-host the show I did with Bobby Hull, Jillian Barbary being Canadian as well. And I know she had lots to talk about with her father being a big fan of Bobby Hull. But no, I'm going to fly solo today because I'm going to be speaking to someone who can take care of himself on the radio far better than I will ever in my lifetime. When I say Vin Scully in Los Angeles, nothing more needs to be said. When I say Bob Irving in Winnipeg, Canada, nothing more needs to be said. I have to give full disclosure here. While I am an LA attorney, I love that music. Okay, enough. Yes, I am originally from Winnipeg. I grew up there, and I've been in LA far too many years. I'm a LA-based guy. So I have firsthand knowledge growing up in Winnipeg, listening to the legend Bob Irving as he called the Winnipeg Blue Bombers football games. And that is the Canadian Football League, probably the better league than the NFL, but we'll talk to Bob about that later. And I am an unabashed Winnipeg Blue Bomber fan. Never miss one of their games and when I can see them, especially when they're in the Grey Cup for the last two that have been played. So I left Winnipeg at a young age, went to Brown University in Rhode Island, and then ultimately ended up here in L.A. I never stopped listening to Bob Irving. And I will tell you something. Bob Irving is such a pleasure to listen to. And he recently retired. He was the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL, Canadian Football League, for those of you who only follow NFL. He was the voice of the Blue Bombers from 1974 through 2021. Almost 50 years, 47, 48 years. His last game that he called was the West Final before the Bombers got to the Grey Cup, and that was on December 5th, 2021. He is in the Football Reporters of Canada section of the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, the media room at Investors Group Field in Winnipeg, which is the Bombers Field, is named in his honor. He was inducted into the team's Ring of Honor on December 5th, and I know that was a touching experience for him. In 2014, he was made a member of the Order of Manitoba. He's been the sports director at CJOB 680 and Power 97 in Winnipeg for umpteen years. And what I can say, which is probably most important, is that he's universally respected by everyone. And that's probably because he respects everyone. Bob Irving, what a pleasure to talk to you today on Gervie's Law. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Alan. The pleasure is all mine. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned Bobby Hull off the top as being one of your guests. I've sort of made my claim to fame, I guess, if I can use that term, at broadcasting Blue Bomber games. But in the 70s, when Bobby Hull played here for the Winnipeg Jets of the World Hockey Association, I was very involved in our hockey coverage. And, boy, I spent a lot of time around Bobby Hull, so I got to know him quite well. Anyway, enough about that.
Well, you know what? I don't want to say enough about that because you have your memories of Bobby Hull. I want to tell you a memory that I have of Bobby Hull that stands out. I played for a team called the Lord Roberts Beavers baseball team. And on that team was Bob Jr. I had played baseball at River Heights with Brett Hull, who became a Hall of Famer in his own right. And Bobby used to drive me to baseball games.
And well, there you go. When Bobby played and lived here, and he lived here year-round, he was very involved in the community. I remember Brett and Bobby Jr., the kids being around the Winnipeg Arena all the time during those WHA days. And I would say, Alan, that Bobby cast a shadow over this city and the sort of the sports makeup of this city, unlike anybody else, because when he came here from the NHL, he was as big a star as there was in hockey, maybe the biggest star of all, and the entire hockey world was shaken to the core when he left the Chicago Blackhawks of the NHL to come to the upstart World Hockey Association, and never mind just the World Hockey Association, but to Winnipeg, of all places. So, yeah, when I look back on the years I've covered sport here in Winnipeg, the impact, and it's a long time ago now, but the impact that Bobby Hull had, his arrival here and the years he spent here, was as big as any I've ever seen in this city.
You know, it's funny because he is someone that is larger than life. And when I was a little kid, I was probably 8 years old, and I stepped out on the Winnipeg Arena, the old Winnipeg Arena ice, and I was wearing my River Heights Cardinals jersey that I played for at the time, and it was a skate around. The Jets were having, you know, the JC Jets fan club. I don't know if you remember that or not. They were having a get-together at the Winnipeg Arena, and I was wearing this jersey, and he came up to me and he said, "Hey, Redbird," in that, you know, that voice, just like your voice is known by everyone. Everyone remembers his rough Redbird. And I've always been known after that. People would come up to me and say, "Hey, Redbird." You know, there's so many stories. Now, you have so many stories. And it's interesting that you lead off here with a Winnipeg Jets story. But way back when, and we're talking the early 70s, you came to Winnipeg and you have, you know, I know you've told the story of Friar Nicholson, Kenny Nicholson, how you, as you say, lucked into the CJOB gig and calling the Bomber games, but you were doing a lot of stuff back then. It wasn't just football. And of course, coming from Saskatchewan, you had these dreams of being a broadcaster. How does it feel to think that back then, coming from Saskatchewan, going to Brandon, and then all of a sudden, you're in the limelight? How did that make you feel?
Well, it was a bit overwhelming. I was 23 years of age, Alan, when I got the job at CJOB to be a full-time sports reporter, which was my ultimate goal in life, and which I hadn't achieved to that point. I was in the media business, the broadcast business, working in Brandon, Manitoba, which is a couple hours down the road from Winnipeg. But I wasn't doing sports full-time. I was doing some TV hosting, and I was a disc jockey for a little while, always wanting to get into the world of sports reporting. And as fate would have it, I found out about the job in Winnipeg at CJOB through Ken the Friar Nicholson, who was the sports director of the station at that time. I send in a tape, which is what you did back then.
Right.
There was no great network then of finding out about jobs or anything else. You had to kind of sort of hear about them word of mouth or whatever. Anyway, I got the job in September of 73, and I was immediately thrown into our hockey coverage, our football coverage. The next year, they asked me if I'd do the football play-by-play, and here I am now, a 24-year-old. And I said, "Well, I've never done play-by-play. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine." And so you just sort of dive into it. And at that time, CJOB was the absolutely dominant radio station in the market. Our listenership was through the roof. And so if you were on CJOB, virtually everybody knew you. And really, it was all very exciting. It was just incredibly exciting to finally fulfill my dream of being a sports reporter, but to do it in a market and on a radio station where, you know, everybody kind of knew you. It mattered. And that was very important and very exciting. And it's funny, I never, ever lost the thrill of being on the air. And I think in our business, you never do. You know, and I retired for a number of reasons, my age and some health issues, and just the fact that I don't have the energy anymore to do all the work that's required. But you never, ever lose the excitement when the mic comes on, the light goes on, of being on the air.
But it has come so natural for you, at least seemingly. Were you a kid who was watching a game back then on TV, trying to do some play-by-play? I know you've said in the past that, you know, a play-by-play guy should just let it come naturally. You just watch the game and call it as you see it. But we've seen so many people who actually rehearse it as kids, trying to put themselves in the limelight, as you say, so that they can be prepared when their day comes.
No, I never rehearsed it as a kid, but I was an absolute sports fanatic. I followed everything to the nth degree, whether it was football or hockey. I was a big boxing fan, basketball, baseball. You know, I collected sports cards. I had them from every sport in existence. And I was just immersed in the sports world, the sports milieu, and I still am, really, at this stage of my life. Once a sports fan, always a sports fan. But I never tried to kind of mimic anybody. I listened to all the greats, the Dick Enbergs, and, you know, you mentioned Vince Scully and Al Michaels, and I can go back to, you know, some of the guys in the Howard Cosell. I loved him. He was a very different guy, but I just loved his style. And I listened to all these guys, and I thought, man, they're all so good in their own way, right? But they're all doing it in their own way. They're not trying to be like anybody else. And so when I got a chance to do the play-by-play in particular, I didn't try to be like anybody else. I simply called the game as I saw it. I described what I saw, and then you develop your own style from there, and that's what happened with me. And I think it's what happens with all of the broadcasters, and in particular all of the play-by-play people. You just let it come naturally. You describe what you see. I've been asked by young fellas in the business, you know, would you give me any tips? And my answer would always be, not really. Just describe what you see and be honest. Be honest with the listeners. In radio, the beautiful thing is nobody can see what's going on. But you need to be honest with them and tell them as much as you can about what's going on. Paint them a picture. I've always used that term, Alan. Paint them a picture. And if you can paint them a picture that they can see in their mind's eye, even they don't have a visual of it, then I think you've achieved really what you're trying to do.
You know, Doug Brown, who was your partner, last partner, said, Bob Irving paints a picture and he illustrates things verbally better than anyone in the business. And we're honored to be talking to Bob Irving today on Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back. Wait a second here. Where are the words? There we go. Bob Irving, Art, our tech guy here, says he didn't know there were words to this song. Do you know the words to the song? Oh, here it comes.
There they are right there.
There they are.
I do know the words. That's the Winnipeg Blue Bomber fight song. They don't play that anymore here. They haven't for a long, long time. They did play it, though, a lot back in the 50s and 60s when Bud Grant was the head coach of the Blue Bombers, and they won a bunch of Grey Cups, which is the championship of the Canadian Football League. And I think your listeners who follow sport and football would know Bud Grant, who went on to coach the Minnesota Vikings and had a fabulous career with them. But yeah, that song was, it was big back then, and every now and then we hear it, just as I have now, and it's kind of cool to hear it because it really is a big part of the Bomber history and their lore.
That's right. You know, I remember as a kid, and I think maybe Jim Spavital might have been the coach, or maybe it was Bud Riley. But Bud Grant's a little before my time, but I did enjoy his coaching with the Vikings because, as you said, Bud Grant is a legend. He started his career at coaching in Winnipeg, not in coaching, but he was coached in the CFL. And you talk about the Grey Cups. Now, what you didn't say is that you actually have a Grey Cup ring. Bob Irving, broadcaster for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, has a Grey Cup ring from the 2019 Grey Cup. How cool is that?
Well, it's super cool. And, Alan, I think it's a little different than people in the U.S. might see these things, because in the States, I know a lot of the broadcasters, with the pro teams in particular, work for the teams. Not all of them, but a lot of the radio broadcasters do. I don't work and haven't worked for the Blue Bombers. I worked for CJOB. So there was never an expectation on my part that when the Bombers won the championship in 2019, I would get a Grey Cup ring. However, I was advised shortly after that that was going to be the case, and I was thrilled. I really was. It's impossible to do the play-by-play for a team as long as I have and not develop a connection and really a love for that team. And I don't hide that. I never have. I love the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. You just can't be around them and as close to them for as long as I have and not develop that kind of feeling. So when they felt that I was worthy of getting a Grey Cup ring, well, I was thrilled. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of jewelry that I will always cherish. I was asked the other day if I'm going to get another one from the 2021 win, and I have no idea. And if I do, it'll be a wonderful, pleasant surprise. And if I don't, well, then that's just fine, too.
You know, first of all, I think you will. And we're going to talk about the Grey Cups in a second and the most recent years of the Bombers' success. There's a lot to talk about there. But you mentioned about working for CJOB. I have a big problem. I, being in L.A., I'm in the car all the time. I love listening to sports. And I have Sirius on my radio that I'm listening to. But when I turn on a game, let's say I'm listening to a Viking game, and they're playing, let's say, the Philadelphia Eagles. If I'm listening to the Philadelphia Eagles broadcast, I can't do it. I just can't. I mean, I think the name is Homer, that they call him. The broadcasters will go as far as to say, we just made a great play. How do you do it, Bob? Because you have maintained such professionalism. Clearly, you've stated, you know, after 47, 48 years, you're a Bomber fan. You know the players, and we'll talk about Mike O'Shea, the coach of the Bombers, and your relationship with him and your hour-long conversation you'd have every week on CJOB. But how do you divorce yourself from that when you're calling a game so people like me, if I were listening to a Bomber broadcast, wouldn't say, I can't listen to this because I'm not rooting for the Bombers?
Well, it's always been my mantra, I guess, and just something I believe in, Alan, that you have to be objective. And again, I would reference the fact that a lot of the broadcasters, radio broadcasters, you're talking about work for the teams. And so the reference to we comes a little more naturally than it would for me. I've never, ever said that on a Bomber broadcast, and I would hope that somebody hit me over the head with a frying pan if I did. It's not we and them. It's the Blue Bombers and the Calgary Stampeders or whoever. And I've received many compliments over the years, and I cherish them from people who say, you know, we know you're pulling for the Blue Bombers, and you always kind of give a positive spin if it's there to be given. But you're always very fair to the other team. And if the Bombers lose, you give them credit. And you don't go overboard in being critical of the Blue Bombers. You simply tell it like it is. Yeah, the Bombers played badly. No more need be said. You know, we don't need to kick them while they're down. Again, that's just my approach. But I think, again, you have to be honest. You have to be honest with the listeners. And if the other team is playing better than the Blue Bombers, why would you not say that?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And not only that, you've interviewed so many players. You've been involved with the team. And Milt Stegall, who is Hall of Fame wide receiver, played for the Bombers, and I know you've said he may have been one of the greatest players, or probably was, that you ever witnessed in the CFL. He talks about you and says he's the guy who can ask the tough question and make you not feel bad. He says Bob would come in and say, hopefully you don't mind me asking this question. It's a tough one, but it needs to be asked. Why aren't there more broadcasters who take that approach, as Milt says?
Yeah, I can't answer that. Again, it's a personal thing, and I think you can ask the tough question without sounding like you're doing it in a tough way, if you know what I mean. And
yeah.
I think that's a skill that I think I've developed, and I say that very humbly. The other thing is you get to know these players when you're around them all the time, and you develop a relationship with them, you know, and they kind of know where you're coming from, and they maybe have a respect for you, and so it's easier to approach them very directly. But even players you don't know, I just think there's a way to ask a question that could maybe upset them to a point, but you can ask it in a way that sounds a bit like a softball, yet you get the response that you're looking for, right? And that's what, to me, doing interviews is all about. You want to get a truthful response about a particular matter that you're discussing, and however you can best do that is the way you should do it. And sometimes you need to be very direct, like if a quarterback throws an interception, hey, tell us what happened on that play. But you don't have to do it in a demanding way. Say, what's the matter with you? Why'd you throw that pick? You just say, hey, explain to me what happened on that play. And again, that's been my approach. I think you can get the answers that the listeners want to hear without coming on too strong.
You know, and I think there may be an element of respect in there as well. You know, the players have all respected you so much, and maybe you can get away with a little more than others can. Not to say that you're not being respectful of them. That's where their respect comes. But there's another issue here. Aren't the CFL players a little more humble, a little more special? Maybe there aren't the high-paid crybabies in the NFL. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, when I was in Winnipeg, somehow, I think I was at the stadium, I met David Williams, who was a receiver with, you know, in the Matt Dunnigan era, probably, what, 93, 94, around then.
Right. Yeah.
And we started talking. I invited him over to our house. I'm not sure why. I said, come for dinner to my family house. And that Friday night, he was there at dinner. He was on crutches because he was on the injured list. And he had a great time. He met the whole family. He hung out. He's from LA originally. We've been good friends since, you know, and he's very proud of the CFL. He lives here in LA. But that's just an example. Willard Reeves, who is a star runner, was a star running back with the Bombers, he settles down, marries his wife Brenda at the time. They have kids. They go to St. John's Ravens Court. You know, all of these things occur, and of course one of them plays in the NHL, Ryan, but there's so many players. I remember another here, I'm going to date myself. Great, we're driving around, there's a guy with a license plate, Grady C. Who was Grady C, Bob Irving?
Grady Kavnis. Well, he was, I think his last year here was my first year here, but he was a defensive back, Grady Kavnis, and he was a pretty good one.
That's right, and he had his played Grady C, and he was in the community. The CFL players who don't get paid as much as the NFL, and a lot of them are casts off, they seem to be good people, and they're playing for the right reasons.
Well, I can tell you that the players in the Canadian Football League are wonderful to deal with, and the reasons that you've cited, Alan, I think are really paramount. You know, they've been rejected or they've fallen through the cracks and they don't make the big money. I think the big money that a lot of the athletes get makes them sort of get oversized opinions of themselves. A lot of them, it makes them a little bit arrogant.
You're being diplomatic. Bob, you're being diplomatic. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So the guys in the CFL, and one of the joys of covering the Canadian Football League for me all these years, and I've said this many times, is the players. They're just wonderful to deal with. Half of them are Canadians who are thrilled to be playing pro football, and the other half are Americans, many of whom, as you say, settle into the community. But, you know, that's been one of the joys of covering the league, never mind just broadcasting the games, was dealing with the players. And I've talked to reporters from other cities in Canada who've covered the NBA and the NHL, and they say, man, especially the NBA, the guys who cover the NBA say the players are very, very difficult to deal with, to get close to sort of develop any sort of relationship with. And I feel very fortunate that in most of my years covering the Canadian Football League, I've made some wonderful relationships. And actually, I have probably three or four of the former players who I call friends now. They live in Winnipeg, and we've maintained a sort of a contact, and I don't know, the word friends is kind of hard to pin down sometimes, but they're acquaintances slash friends from our years of working together, if I can use that term, when I was broadcasting and covering the team and they were playing for it.
Yeah, you know, and we got to take a break, but one of those friends, Doug Brown, who you've worked the last several years with since probably 2012, said, sitting down with Bob Irving to call a Bomber game is like playing ice hockey on a pond with Wayne Gretzky. That says it all.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Hey, that was very nice of Doug to say that.
All right, we got to take a break. You're listening to Gurry's Law with Bob Irving, the legend, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yeah, we are talking to another legend, not a music legend, but the guy with the golden pipes. Bob Irving, Winnipeg Mayor Brian Bowman called Bob Irving an absolute legend in broadcasting and Canadian sport. And we're honored to have Bob Knuckles Irving with us. Yes, he's on the phone. We asked him to fly in, but, you know, I don't know, Bob. They say you're Knuckles. Tell us the story of how you got that nickname and why maybe you didn't fly in for this interview.
Well, early in my days of covering the Blue Bombers, one of the people I worked with was named Cactus Jack Wells. He's a real broadcast legend in Winnipeg and certainly was back then. He was near the end of his days of work. But we traveled together for a few years on the Bomber beat. And I've always been a nervous flyer. And, of course, it's a term you don't hear much nowadays, but back then, if you were a nervous flyer, you kind of grabbed the seat or the seat arms and held them tight, and so your knuckles got white. And then the reference was then you were a white-knuckle flyer. Well, Jack Wells saw me one day on a plane, the first time he saw me kind of get a little nervous and grab the seat arms, and, oh, he says, you're a white-knuckler, eh? We'll have to call you Knuckles. And when Jack gave you a nickname, it stuck. And so ever since, that would be mid-70s, I guess, ever since my nickname, and a lot of people refer to me as Knuckles. They don't even call me Bob. They just refer to me as Knuckles, and it's fine. I'm quite pleased with it. When Jack gave you a nickname, it was something to be proud of. And so I'll say I'm still proud of it. And the reason I didn't fly there, Alan, is my fear of flying is not getting any better. If anything, it's getting worse. And so if I can keep my feet on the ground, I will.
Well, in this day and age, I think staying put is really very much accepted. And, you know, I think people realize after the last couple of years that maybe getting on a plane isn't always the best thing. Now, recently, when they just lifted the mask on planes mandate, and I'm flying to Hawaii. I have a speaking engagement this week in Hawaii. And when I got my ticket to go there, I was wearing a mask. And now apparently we don't have to wear masks on Alaska Airlines, the airline I'm flying to Hawaii on. But that's another story. I want to get back to Jack Wells because you talk about nicknames. Do you know why they called him Cactus Jack? And before you answer that question, I want to tell you a memory that I have that will probably hit a chord with you. Once the Bomber game was over and I sat in Section C just below the press box where you were, I would rush to my car with my family. I was a little kid, and we'd rush to our car, which we parked miles away. My dad would never park close because to the stadium. It might have cost $5 to park close to the stadium. So we had the free parking across the tracks. We would run to the car after the game ended for what? To hear Cactus Jack Wells' Happy Honker Award, because we had to honk our horns when he gave out the Happy Honker Award. Tell us a little bit about Cactus, why he was Cactus, and about the Happy Honker Award.
The Cactus nickname, Alan, I'm not certain about. I've heard a variety of different descriptions and theories. He used to do a Western radio show, and it had kind of a Cactus Arizona theme to it. And I think it ties in there a little bit, but I'm not quite certain, and nobody could ever give me a definitive answer on that, and I never asked Jack where he got it before he passed away. So I'm a little bit still in the dark on that one, but I think it relates to his radio show and his Western-themed radio show. In terms of the Happy Honker, this was one of those impromptu things that just comes out of nowhere. We had Jack on our post-game show, And one, I can't remember the exact game or the time even, but after one game in particular, we were talking about the Bombers' play, and Jack was extolling the virtues of one of the players, kind of an underrated guy, an unsung hero, if I can use that term. And just out of the blue, he said, you know what, all you folks out there driving home now, let's hear a honk on the horn just to give some kudos to whoever the player was.
Phil,
and the horn
Phil Minnick,
blaring
or,
and all
Phil
the
Minnick
of it,
or Pete
and
Robbins.
And thus started the Happy Honker Award. And it was a phenomenon here for a number of years. And as a matter of fact, Alan, we've been asked, and I've been asked many times over the years, to bring it back. Jack is long gone, of course. And I've always said, look, the Happy Honker was Jack Wells. That was that. There's no way we could possibly duplicate or replicate that in any way that it would be appropriate. That was his feature. That was his baby. And when he left, it went with him. So we're not going to do it anymore. But boy, a lot of people still remember it, and they loved it.
Yeah, it represented so much more than a horn honking in a car. It represented community and values, yeah, and people being together. I can only imagine, you know, this year when I went to the Vikings game at SoFi Stadium against was it the Rams? I guess. No, Chargers. Anyway, we're outside. I waited an hour to get from SoFi Stadium to my home in Calabasas, and there was nothing like a Happy Honker Award. I couldn't even find the post-game show on the radio trying to listen while I waited in traffic. So when you talk about community and values, all of these things that people here in LA and in other parts of the country don't really get like they did in Winnipeg. And I know it's historical. Like you say, it goes back to the day. You know, it goes back to the day, and I'll mention some names because I think, you know, these will bring back some memories. A lot of people talk about the Don Jonas days and the Mac Heron days and Jim Thorpe. Do you remember you were a young guy doing the Bomber games? Tell us the deal with those guys, with Mac Heron and Jim Thorpe and some of the controversies that at the time were the biggest things versus now where, you know, when we talk about the Bomber teams, they just seem so cohesive, great guys. Back then, there were some issues.
Yeah, there sure were. Don Jonas, first of all, was fabulous at quarterback for the Blue Bombers in the early 70s. They were really struggling. They had some dismal years after Bud Grant left to go to the Minnesota Vikings. And Don kind of resurrected the fan base here with his play, and he was named most outstanding player one year. I think it was 71. But Mac Heron and Jim Thorpe, now these guys were gone the year after I came. Here's the story on what happened with them. They were bad actors. They were involved in some stuff that I won't even get into detail because a lot of it was speculation. But I was told the police went to the Bomber general manager and said, look, you either get these guys out of here or you're going to be in the headlines, and they won't be headlines that you want to read in the paper. And so the two of them were shipped off. Of course, Mac Heron went on to have great success in the National Football League, and then he wound up in jail for many years. But he and Jim Thorpe they were great players. Man, oh, man. They were part of getting the fan excitement back, too, but they were just scurrilous characters, as it turned out.
And I think it may have had something to do with drugs, but we won't get into it. How tall was Mac Heron?
Oh, they called Mini Mac was his nickname. He would have been 5'5", 5'6", I guess. But what a dynamic player he was.
Oh, yeah. He
and
was
Thorpe
strong.
Was a receiver and also a very dynamic player. And it's too bad because, you know, they were just spectacular players. But they were into some very, very bad stuff. And so they didn't last here very long. But I heard all about that when I first came here. And it got cleaned up pretty quick. And since I've been here, the Bombers haven't had anybody even close to that get in any trouble or anything like that.
No, not at all. And, you know, back in those days, you had a guy like Benji Dial. He may have become a superstar in the Hall of Fame, but for a few problems of not being able to play in a game.
Well, Benji Dial was one of a long list of quarterbacks that they auditioned and tried to roll into the shoes of the great Kenny Plain when he retired. And it took them years until Don Jonas came along and kind of got the fans excited again at the quarterback position. And then, You know, I've been very fortunate. All the years I've covered the Blue Bombers, they've had some periods where things didn't go well, and they had a 22-year Grey Cup drought. But they almost always, Alan, had entertaining teams with some real interesting characters, and there was always a sense of hope, you know, that, you know, this was going to be a good year for them. And so there's ebbs and flows and ups and downs in sport with all teams. But the Bombers over the years have, I think they've always had a grip on the community here, one way or the other, whether people are mad at them because they don't like their performance, they still cared about them. And that's the beauty of small communities like this. We're 750,000 people in Winnipeg. But the Bombers matter because they've been here since 1930, right? They're part of the soul and the fiber of this community, and people care about them and care about them greatly. And I think we saw how much they care about them the last 2 years in particular, when they finally broke that Grey Cup drought and brought the championship back to Winnipeg. I know we had a parade the day after the game in 2019, or a week after the game, and the streets were lined. They were packed. It was unbelievable, the response of the community, because the Bombers are a big, big deal in Winnipeg.
And it's great to see their success. We have one more segment with Bob Irving. We'll get to the rapid round. We'll get through a lot of topics, bring us up to date with the Bombers and the future, and of course his retirement and all this attention that he's gotten for his retirement, which his son Kyle said he must hate, because that's who Bob Irving is. Not about him, it's about others and the team. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We're still sticking with the Canadian theme here.
Neil Young.
Neil Young. Did you ever meet him?
I did. I never met Neil Young. I met his dad.
Yeah, Scott.
Neil, I have some buddies who went to high school with Neil when he was in Winnipeg. He was only here for a few years, but we're claiming him, right?
Absolutely.
Randy Backman and Burton Cummings and the Guess Who, they all grew up here and became famous when they were in Winnipeg, but Neil Young moved on. But yeah, we claim him as a big part of our past, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I only have 10 minutes left, and I want to go through a lot of issues with Bob Irving here. This is what we call the rapid round here at Gervie's Law. I'm going to say something, you give us your answer, and then we'll move on. You ready for it? Can you play?
Sure. Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go. All right. Canadians playing in the CFL. How do you balance Americans versus Canadians? What if they do away with the naturals?
Well, I think it would be awful if we didn't have Canadians. So people understand, who don't know, every roster in the CFL has 44 players, and 21 of them have to be Canadian players. And the reason they have what's called the ratio, we call that the ratio here, is so that Canadian players who come through high school and college get a chance to hone their skills and become good professional players, because they don't get the training and the background and the competition that the American kids do. And so that's why the league has always legislated that you have to have a certain number of Canadians. And, you know, what's happened over the years is the Canadian players have gotten better and better and better. And the ones who first arrive on the scene, Alan, after they've spent 2 or 3 years in the league, they improve tremendously simply from the competition level and become stars in their own right. And so it's been a big part of the sort of the fragment and the makeup of the game. It's the Canadian Football League, and we have to have the Canadian players, as far as I'm concerned. And that's what makes it, one of the things that makes it unique.
I totally agree. Speaking of Canadians, Andrew Harris, star running back for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, leaving the team, letting him go.
Well, this was kind of a sad story in the offseason. Andrew grew up here in Winnipeg. He played his first number of years in the CFL for the BC Lions. And then he came home to Winnipeg and had 5 glorious seasons here. He helped the Bombers win those 2 Grey Cup games. He's 36 years old, and during the winter, he and the club simply couldn't reach agreement on what was fair compensation for a player of his age who missed much of last season because of injury. And it's one of those things you see in sport all the time. You'd love to see happy endings where guys finish their career, you know, in their home city, and they go out in a blaze of glory. But it rarely happens that way. And so Andrew's moved on to Toronto, and hopefully he can get healthy and have a big year there. But we're going to miss him for sure. And it's just too bad it ended that way. But there aren't a lot of happy endings in pro sport.
That's right. Only yours. Throwing you a curveball now. Kershaw being pulled, pitching a perfect game.
Oh, I didn't like that at all. I understood the reasons why, and I know Dave Roberts explained that. I think baseball has changed in recent years. And, you know, I'm dating myself here a little bit. I go back to the Bob Gibson days where, you know, they would go the whole nine innings. There's hardly ever a complete game in baseball anymore. The relievers come in. I just think you've denied Kershaw. I know you want to keep him healthy and he's had elbow problems. I get all of that. But you're denying him a chance to throw a perfect game. Why not let him go out in the, you know, in the eighth inning and see what happens? And if he gets in a bit of trouble or gives up a hit, then get him out. But otherwise, if he doesn't have to throw too many pitches, give him a chance.
I totally agree. And I was watching this week Max Fried, who's my friend Jonathan Fried's son, pitching a perfect game, but he did give up a hit. So he was legitimately taken out after he gave up that hit. But with Kershaw, should have been left in there until that happened or he completed the perfect game. Moving on, Mike O'Shea, coach of the Bombers, special guy. Why is he so special? 1 minute or less.
Yeah, he was a great player in the CFL. He's in the Hall of Fame. He played 16 years, I think. He came here in 2014, Alan, when the Bombers were in a bit of a disarray, and he has turned this franchise around. He's become a terrific head coach. The players love him. They love playing for him. He's a no-nonsense guy, and yet at the same time, he's a player's coach. He's just kind of melded those two things together beautifully. And he's as down-to-earth a human being as you're ever going to meet. And that's one of the reasons I love him. He's from North Bay, Ontario, small-town guy, small-town values, fits in perfectly here in Winnipeg. He's had great success, and it couldn't have happened to a better guy.
You know, I'm just listening to you. It's coming off the top of your head. All of this stuff, you know, there's no script here. And I know that you've been, you know, it's been said that you have a computer for a brain. People here in LA are listening to this and they're probably thinking, why isn't this guy calling the Dodgers or the LA Kings or, you know, one of the professional teams here? You sure you want to retire?
Yes, I'm very sure. I've never wanted to do anything but live in Winnipeg and do the play-by-play for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I never had any greater aspirations than that. My family loves it here in Winnipeg. I'll be 72 in August, Alan, which I know isn't old in today's world, but I've had some health issues. The football eats up our entire summer here, and so for 40-some years, I've never really had a summer off, and I don't say that as a complaint. I say it simply as an observation, and it's time for my wife and I to enjoy some summers together where the time is our own. Our schedule is our own, and so I'm ready. I'm ready to move on. I've done everything I could ever have possibly wanted to do in this business. It's been a labor of love. And I'll miss it, and I think I could still do it. I know I could still do it. I'll miss it, but I'm ready. I'm just ready to move on to however many years I have left to. They're my own, right? They're entirely my own, and I'm looking forward to that.
Now, what a brilliant answer, because a lot of people should really hear that. You're retiring for all the right reasons. It's called life, enjoying your life, not letting it pass you by, understanding that we only live once and you're going to get the most out of it. And your priorities in the right place to be with your wife day and spend time with your kids, grandchildren. That's what it's all about. So I don't think anyone can fault you. People will miss you, but they can't fault you. Quickly, what about your replacement? What kind of pressure on your replacement?
Yeah, there's going to be. I've told him this. Derek Taylor's his name. And I've said, look, you know, when I took over the Bombers play-by-play, Kenny Nicholson did it. I'm sure there were people who said, well, you know, Kenny was better. Who's this new guy? We don't like him. I've been here a long time, and so whoever replaces me, it's not going to be the same. And I've said to Derek, look, it won't be the same. You do your thing, and you'll be fine. And Derek is a very qualified guy. And some people will say, well, it's not the same. No, it's not the same. And it wasn't going to be the same because Bob's not there anymore. But we'll move on, and everybody will settle in, and they'll enjoy Derek's work, and that's just the way it works. It's the old story, Alan, where if you stick your foot in a bucket of water and you pull it out, that hole fills up real quick.
Yep.
And I think that's the way it is in our business, too. I've worked with legendary broadcasters at CJOB over the years, And some of them have left, and people said, oh, my God, what are we going to do without Peter Warren there? Well, you know what? Life goes on. Life went on, and it will go on, and that's just the way the wheel turns, isn't it?
That's true, and that's a lesson in life. So many lessons that you have learned and passed on. I'll tell you that we didn't even have time to talk about the disappointment that the Winnipeg Jets have been this year, especially the last few weeks. And I know you have a lot to say about that. If people want to see that, he tweets at Bob Irving CJOB. That's at Bob Irving CJOB. Check him out. Bob Irving, the legend. It has been such a treat, not a tweet, but a treat. To have
well, it's been
you.
Fun talking to you, Alan, and I loved hearing about your Winnipeg background. And you're like hundreds and thousands of ex-Winnipeggers. You've still got that W imprinted somewhere, don't you?
Well, you can take the boy out of Winnipeg, but you can't take Winnipeg out of the boy. Congratulations True. On a legendary career. Bob Irving, I want to thank you so much for spending an hour with us. It's been fascinating, and all the best in retirement.
Thank you, Alan. My pleasure entirely.
All right. Take good care. That will do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.